Tisha Richmond. I am a tech integration specialist in Medford, Oregon, culinary teacher of 22 years. This September, I released a book called Make Learning Magical through Dave Burgess Consulting. It's about transforming teaching and creating unforgettable experiences in your classroom. I am listening to the DNT EdTech podcast, and my book, Make Learning Magical, is really, it's an acronym, and the acronym stands for Meaningful Beginnings, Authenticity and Agency, Gamified Experiences, Innovation, Curiosity, Collaboration, and Curiosity, Authentic Audience, and Legacy. And in my book, I share my story about how I was a burnout educator who was ready to leave the profession of education, and my joy and passion for education was restored as I discovered ways to unlock magical learning in my classroom. And it's been an unbelievable journey, and I'm hoping in sharing my story that I will be able to impact other educators and bring joy and passion into their educational experience.
Hey guys, welcome to the TNT EdTech podcast, and I am pleased to present our great guest today, Andrew Revelo. Hey Andrew.
Welcome Andrew.
Hey, what's up, Matthew? What's up, Scott? Game Boy Drew is in the house.
Woo-hoo!
And I'm so excited to be here. I'm excited to discuss some pretty cool topics that we have planned for, you know, all of the listeners. So be sure to check us out.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. And what do we have planned for today, Matthew?
Well, we have a lot of really exciting topics to talk with Andrew about. STEM in the classroom, looking at different robotics, also looking at gamification, design thinking concepts, teachers sharing, supporting each other, and also all the amazing conferences that Andrew's going to be a part of.
Yeah, and risk-taking and forming relationships and keeping it real, being real, like Tara Martin talks about, and just having a good time.
So let's get started.
Today on the TNT EdTech podcast, we have national speaker and creative innovator Andrew Revelo. In the classroom, Andrew's focus is on gamification, game-based learning, STEM, and robotics. You can find him on Twitter at GameBoyDrew or on his website at www.GameBoyDrew.com. Andrew is CUE's Emerging Teacher of the Year for 2019. In order to get this prestigious award, you had to have been teaching for less than 7 years, so make sure to keep your eye out for him. He's one of CUE's rising stars, and as you'll find out soon, he's been doing big things. He's already presenting at national conferences such as FETC. He's presented at CAP CUE and Nevada CUE, and this summer, he'll present at Spark, I believe it's in Milwaukee, and then LearnFest in Texas. And so make sure to check those out as well. On top of that, he's a game designer. He has created a game called TMB for short, or Top Middle Bottom. It's very intriguing, and my third grader loves it. So without further ado, here is Andrew Revelo. Welcome, Andrew. Let's start with an easy question. What do you love about Twitter?
What I love about Twitter is that there's so many people doing amazing things, and I love the fact that, like, on Twitter, when you get to connect with other individuals, you literally, like, feed off of their energy, you know what
yes.
I mean? Like, if you want to, right? You
right.
know, or you can take it the other way.
You could be defeated by it, or oh. you can see it as a challenge and
exactly.
try and mirror
and
it.
You can, you know, be scared of it, and you can, you know, confront it in a negative way, which kind of stinks, but then there's those who kind of see it and then they kind of reflect, right? They analyze mm-hmm. themselves and they kind of wonder, well, I love what this person or this individual's doing. What can I do, you know, to kind of up my game, right?
Uh-huh.
So right. I was going to mention that, you know, once the summer kind of comes to a close and I kind of start to chill out, I really want to start planning, at least I have a couple of ideas already in mind, but kind of sit down, clear my mind, and try to start pinning some words because I want to publish a book.
Yeah. Nice.
You will, bro.
You have to.
The next project.
Yeah. Once you sit down and actually write it, it's going to get published for sure. I can already tell you.
And each of those breakoffs are different chapters.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
there's so many ideas, you know, in mind, but it's kind of crazy because it's the first time, you know, where I'm really considering, like, hey, like, you can actually publish a book now at this point.
Yeah.
I've had the conversation with more than one individual now at this point, and it's starting to become like an actual reality, which is insane, you know, because it's like, what? Like, whoa. This is all still new to me. I mean, just like your guys' journey too, right? I mean, I've only been on Twitter for a little bit more than a year now, so.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was telling Matthew it was about a year. So, Andrew, what advice do you have for folks who are just getting started with presenting or wanting to get started with presenting? What would you have them do?
That's a great question, Scott. And I definitely say just kind of, you can start off small. All right. I mean, there's nothing wrong, right, with starting off small and eventually kind of building your way up into like these bigger conferences. But every individual has so much to share. I mean, the amount of followers that you have does not dictate the quality of your ideas.
No,
so just kind of keep
not.
That in mind, you know. So sometimes we go through these stages of like, oh, am I worthy enough to share my ideas? You know, and yes, you are. You know, everyone has an idea that's worth sharing. And two, you know, is being a connected educator, you got to. You need to share your ideas because you never know what door will, you know, open as you, you know, share that idea. Just like in my own case, I remember the first time I got asked to give a speech, right? It was probably about a little more than a year ago, and I was completely terrified. I said yes, not really knowing what I was getting myself into. And then, you know, as the days counted down, as the weeks went by, you know, the nerves, the stress, the anxiety, you know, went up, and I was completely terrified. And for a little while, I even contemplated, you know, should I pull out of this whole, you know, this commitment that I've made? And I said, no, you know what? I committed and I'm going to go for it and, you know, I'm going to rock it. And my first, you know, actual speech was a TED Talk. Kind of like a TED Talk. It was called an Ed Talk. Same format, though, 15-minute session. And I spoke in a room of probably about 200 administrators from my local county. Completely terrifying. The first, you know, time that I'm actually really doing public speaking. And I rocked it, you know. I got so much, you know, good feedback from the people that were there. And, you know, that one time kind of unlocked this, you know, like this secret power that I didn't, you know I had. You know, and after that first time, I was like, oh, my gosh, I love doing this. I want to do more. And, you know, the crazy thing is, you know, that I, you know, at one point, actually thought of not doing that. So if I had not done that, I'm curious as to, you know, where would I be at this point? You know, where would my journey have taken me? Would I still be kind of like doing my own thing in isolation in my classroom? Would the world not know Game Boy Drew?
Right. Those what ifs.
So it's crazy. So again, my greatest suggestion or my greatest, you know, feedback tip would be, you know, don't be afraid to go out and share your idea. You can start small and then gradually keep going through, and you'll notice that as you go through these different conferences, as you go through these different sessions, just by presenting, just by being there, you'll meet people and the opportunities will come. And then, you know, you can go from speaking to 50 people to 100 people to 1,000 people, and, you know, then you can be on that big stage with George Kuros, right?
Yeah. In a stadium.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, I mean, anyways, That's what I definitely recommend.
Oh, that's great. You brought up some great things. I actually wanted to highlight the Twitter numbers. So we have a follower, Lorna, I believe you pronounce her last name, Lavoc, and she had this post about her favorite podcasts. That thing was so great, so informative. It got so many likes, retweets, comments. I think the likes, last time I looked, were in the 700s, over 200 retweets, and 120-some comments. I was just blown away. I've never had a post that took off like that. And my numbers are larger than hers, so that just kind of goes to show that if you have something to share and people like it, they're going to spread the word.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, don't get caught up in the numbers. And I know it's hard to, because, you know, I've done it myself, and I kind of just got to refrain from that, because it's not about the numbers, right? It's about the connections. It's about the relationships. Sharing those ideas. It's about learning. It's about growing. It's about, you know, meeting, you know, strangers that become great friends and growing together.
Right.
You guys may not
like us.
Yeah, exactly. We're the perfect example of that. Yeah. I mean, just you know, thinking of Mindfair, the first time we ever met, right?
Yeah, that was great. And to piggyback off of Mindfair and what you were saying earlier about your anxiety with your first speaking, this is real. This is the first time I'm really sharing this. But before Mindfair, I had the same kind of feelings. I'm like, what? I'm going to be an MC at this event. There's thousands upon thousands of people there. It's a huge responsibility. I've never done this before, but this guy, Steve Isaacs, he believes in me. I can't let him down. And then in November, I got pneumonia or some viral bronchitis, and I was still recovering from that. So I was having trouble breathing and then having to speak on the mic. It was tough. And I tried not to show it, and I think I did a good job. I felt like I rocked the mic, and it was cool.
Dude,
introducing
you. Rocked it. Yeah, you rocked it like no one else could. I mean, I remember you being there, Scott, made me feel so much more comfortable. I just want you to, you know that.
Oh, nice.
As I walked onto that stage, it was pretty scary. And you being there in kind of, you know, my corner supporting me, being the MC, I was like, okay. I'm not alone. And even though my fiance Stephanie was there, you know what I mean? She's always there with me. So giving that other, you know, support, that was awesome. And you did a great job, man. So,
no, anytime. And thanks for inviting me to be a part of your Leroy Finkel Fellowship presentation, too. That was awesome.
Can you do the rap again? I think we need an encore.
Well, you want to hear it? We won't
have
the beat, but
again, because it went from
I got so nervous. Yeah, so let me see if I can do it.
Right.
Here we go. They're gonna create a program like never before about standards-based content and more, like in the Khan Academy. So I'll score. About to return, not yet, just kidding, all for free, I said free, you getting me? And Norma and Drew said, nothing but they will, watch it, Norma and Drew, coming for the kill. So.
Yes, man.
Nice,
that's
sweet.
See, you still remember it. It's
I still remember it, but I couldn't say it.
Yeah, it's
no one knew, though. Kind of... No one knew you were doing so well.
And talk about support. You told me, hey, if you get stuck, you mess up, just go, nobody's gonna know. And so your voice literally played in my head like, okay, Andrew said if I mess up, just freestyle.
Yep.
And I did, and nobody knew except us and people I told. So
yeah, dude, you rocked it. And like I said, I mean, you were, again, there, you know, rooting for you know, all of the people there, and just your presence was awesome. I mean, thank you for being part of that. There's not many individuals that would actually stand up in a room full of about, what, 200 people?
Yeah, about 200.
Freestyle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was incredible. And I'm pretty sure that our paths will intersect again with you continuing to rock the mic. or not rock the mic.
All right.
You don't need a mic.
Well, thanks, brother. And then hopefully our session for Q gets picked up.
Yeah, that'd just be cool. Giving a special shout out to John Carifo, Kate, and I. Hopefully you guys heard that.
Yeah.
just kidding. No pressure, wink, wink. Right? I mean, I understand there's that whole judging process to go through.
I think it's like a blind thing.
But it would be pretty
thing.
Amazing, right?
Yeah. No, that'd be cool. And if it doesn't happen, we'll still be there together chilling.
And if it doesn't happen this time, it will eventually happen.
Eventually.
Right?
Right? Yeah. Which reminds me, you have some upcoming sessions. We could talk about them in order. So you have LearnFest, I believe, right?
Yeah. I have LearnFest coming up in, I want to say it's around June 10th. I can't remember the specific date, but I know that basically after I get out of school, you know, the week after, I'll be flying out to Austin, and I'll be over there with, you know, Mike Washburn and Cosmo will be there as well. So they'll be
killer.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. Also, my good friend Amanda Fox will be there as well.
Oh, so. She's great.
Yeah, she's incredible. She's releasing actually her book, should be coming out I believe this month, right, for DBC. So, you know, go.
Yeah, she does great work.
Yeah, be sure to check that out.
And both of you were at Q-Bold, correct?
Yeah. Amanda actually came, and that was pretty awesome. We've actually put in a couple of sessions as well. For, I want to say we put in a session for FETC.
Nice.
And I even want to say Q. What? At this point,
because you were doing so many, they all fell at the same time.
You know what? What's crazy is like all of the conferences had like their last, their official deadline like on during the same week. It was crazy.
Yeah, May 31st for this one or for the next round. But then there were a bunch that last week in April.
Yeah, exactly. So at this point, honestly, I've lost count of where I've actually submitted my email.
Just waiting for the emails to roll in.
Yeah, if I get the email, you know, then I'll know I'm good. And then go through the process of trying to figure out, well, when did I submit this session? Right, but I mean, so I have LearnFest coming up. After LearnFest, I'm flying out to Milwaukee, Wisconsin for Spark.
That one's going to be off the hook as well.
So pretty excited because I have three different sessions there. So I'm doing one with Tisha Richmond on empathy in the classroom, but more specifically cross-curricular project-based learning inspired activities, and we're going to show a couple of different examples from the classroom. So that should be really exciting, I should say. I met Tisha actually the first time 2 years ago at Q. It was the first time I was there, and I saw Tisha. I went to her session, and she's kind of one of the big reasons that I'm here too, is, you know, she really inspired me to just kind of get up on the stage. And I remember in one of my preparing for one of my first sessions, I was actually, you know, messaging her and getting some content from her, and she kind of helped me get through the nerves a bit. So yeah, big shout out to Tisha Richmond. She's
amazing. She's great.
And then so I have a session with her. I also have a session with Glenn Irving, who I was also able to connect with through Twitter, and we're doing a session on branded learning, and I'm so excited for that session just because, you know, Glenn is awesome too. I mean, it's pretty crazy, but a lot of these individuals that we meet on Twitter kind of, you know, become friends and family, and, you know, Glenn's pretty awesome, so I'm excited for that session.
He's the one that started me on Twitter. Like, not the initial start, but he propelled me to keep going.
Yeah.
So, Denise Shovlin got me started, and he kept me going, and I just kind of followed his model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, him and Mike and what they do with their podcasts, too, is so incredible. So, I'm grateful for having met him, and, you know, it should be pretty cool to – it's crazy because, you know, when you meet that – you have your Twitter connection, right? You meet that Twitter friend, and then, you know, you never know what will happen later down the road. Like, now I'm giving a session with Tisha, and then I'm giving a session with Glenn, you know, so that's kind of cool, right? And then I have a final session, which will be on just gamification, game-based learning, and design thinking. So I'm super excited for that, those two conferences coming up, right? Right. And then in July, I'll be going to, I'll be speaking at, it's called Ed Innovate Live 2019. And the keynoters are actually Sir Ken Robinson and Dave Burgess. Yeah, so pretty stoked. I have a fun summer planned. Unfortunately, it's not looking like ISTE is going to, you know, be happening for me this year. But I'll be pretty busy, you know, nonetheless.
Right, yeah, that's a jam-packed summer, as is. You need some downtime to reflect, to plan, just spend some time with your fiancé.
Yes, exactly. Some non-conference time, right?
Right. We need that.
I was really interested in Qbold. What is Qbold? What you were presenting on, and what teachers get out of going to a Bold?
Yeah. So I want to say about 3 weeks ago, Qbold, you know, actually happened. It was up in Carlsbad. So I remember as I was going through, you know, the actual application process, I was a little bit confused in terms of what I was actually going to be presenting, because if you've never been to Qbold, it's very different than any other conference. I mean, not to say that all conferences are the same, right? But in terms of the actual format of the presentations, right, like the actual way in which they're presented, so we take Madeline Hunter's lesson plan and the seven components of, you know, what a lesson should entail.
Okay.
And we take a lesson and we basically decompose it, and then that is our session, where we give an actual session under her format. So it's very, very different from anything that I've ever done. And it was pretty stressful, I'm not going to lie. I remember the weeks leading up into the event, you know, I was stressed in terms of trying to figure out how this was actually going to happen and whether or not I was doing it correct. So I finally, you know, the day came, the conference came, and I gave the sessions. And so I think on the first Saturday, I gave three sessions. It was the same session, but I gave it three times. So think of it as you give a session for 30 minutes, you break apart the lesson, and then after the lesson, then there's an after party. And so that lasts 30 minutes. So for the 30 minutes that follow, you know, anyone who's still in the room can ask questions or, you know, get any clarification in terms of the concepts or the ideas that were shared. And so what was happening, though, in my case was, you know, after the 30 minutes, I was getting an influx of new people coming in, right? So so I kind of had to go backwards and present the session again, which, by the way, you know, once you're up there, I don't mind presenting, right? I love it. I love sharing. I love helping. That's what all teachers should be doing anyways, right?
Yeah.
And so if I get that outlet, you know, I'm going to take advantage of it. And it was pretty amazing. I mean, it was crazy because I've never presented that many times consistently in the same day, right? Typically, there's some downtime for me to go and check out other sessions, but that was not the case. I was, you know, presenting the whole time, which was pretty cool, by the way, though, because I mean, I was still able to learn from the actual attendees, right? The people that were in the room.
Yeah.
Right.
That was nice. It just wasn't me speaking the whole time. We actually got to, you know, open up dialogue and talk about different ideas. And I remember something really, really awesome that happened on Saturday was I was part of a math panel, right, with Kristen Beck. And I didn't know what to expect with this math panel. So we go to the room, and there's only one individual that's there, right?
Uh-huh.
So for me, you know, I've always found that I love the small sessions. Like, I remember one of my smallest sessions, I had like four people, not at Bold, but just in general, right? And right. I still remember that was one of the my favorite sessions that I've ever given.
Sure.
It's not about the numbers, right? It's right. About
the connections,
yeah, the connections, learning together. And so that one person literally stayed for, I want to say, for a whole hour. Kristen, myself, and that one individual who I can't recall right now, we literally just talked about, it was supposed to be math, but that individual wanted more design thinking, right?
Oh, so, oh wow.
It turned into a whole hour session on just design thinking. And it was literally one of my favorite sessions because, I mean, that individual was a new teacher. She was starting off, you know, in this journey, and she was feeling a little bit overwhelmed. She wanted to do a lot of cool things, but she didn't feel like she had some of the support or some of the tools in terms of what she wanted to do. So literally for an hour, we literally just threw so many ideas at this girl. And it was pretty cool because she got so much out of it. And at the same time, you know, we were able to support her and help her and make sure that, you know, that she left feeling confident and that she could go and tackle some of these really cool projects that she wanted to work on. So that to me was really inspiring. I mean, so if you've never been to Bold, you have to check it out. I mean, the presenters there, you know, all of them are rock stars, excluding myself, you know.
I'm a newbie, right? No, you're a rock star too.
And so, I mean, luckily, I had Coach Ben as my mentor.
Oh, that's
cool. Oh, yeah.
So
he's
if
great.
You were a new presenter, yeah, if you were a new presenter, you actually were paired with a mentor. And mine just happened to be Coach Ben, so I completely lucked out because if you don't know Coach Ben, I mean, his heart is huge, right?
Definitely.
And he's always willing to help out. And the even more amazing thing about him was that he was actually the recipient of the Q Bold Teacher of the Year Award. So
right, I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, it was extra special having him as my mentor, and two, you know, him going through up on the stage and getting his award, because I mean, there honestly, that guy, he is a rock star. He's amazing, and you've never, you know, gotten a chance to talk to Coach Ben. You really, really got to talk to that guy. He's amazing.
Yeah, Ben Cogswell, folks. We'll put a link in the show notes.
And I really like that you're bringing STEM into your elementary school classroom. What activities, what projects are you doing with your students?
Yeah, so I'd say one of the really cool projects that I did this year with, I want to say STEM, I want to say design thinking, I want to say the Sustainable Development Goals created by the UN. So we did this project. It started off, I remember I saw the commercial for it during the Super Bowl. It was the ad for Microsoft's Adaptive Control.
Okay.
Right? And I remember after seeing that, you know, being Game Boy Drew, I was like, okay, one, I'm totally inspired. Two, I got to wipe the tears because that commercial was like the coolest, like, commercial ever. I mean, and then three, I wanted to figure out how I could actually take that commercial and do something with it in my classroom, right?
Uh-huh.
So I went about this process, and essentially what happened was my kids researched the disability. After researching the disability, any disability that they wanted to, right, they had to go and select the game console. And when they selected the game console, then they had to talk about how they would go back in time and make the control for that game console adaptive to fit the needs of that specific disability that they researched.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool, right? And uh-huh. Then so then they had to tie it into the actual Sustainable Development Goals and talk about how in doing this, they were basically, you know, reducing inequalities, which is SDG 10. And so that was pretty inspiring, you know, for a fourth grader to go through this process and really be like, okay, I'm going to design something, but not just design anything, right? I'm designing something that has purpose, that's relevant, that's meaningful.
Yeah.
That was so inspiring for the kids that were involved and for myself just seeing them, because at the end of this process, they actually had to make their adaptive control, right? So they made like a two-scale model of the actual game console and the original control, as well as the adaptive control. So there was a lot of geometry that went on in terms of the measurements. They had to measure with the cardboard to make it as real as possible. And, you know, I was blown away by what these kids came up with. I mean, it was insane.
So, wow. Right. I saw pictures on Twitter, right?
Yeah, yeah. I've posted a couple of the pictures on Twitter. And you can see some of the different projects they've worked on. So they worked on everything from the Atari to the Super Nintendo to, you know, the Game Boy Advance. it was really, really inspiring just to see their minds go off in this process. And as they actually went through and they created these products, these tangible, you know, products, then that was how I was able to assess in terms of whether or not they were understanding the design process, right? Were they empathizing? Were they putting themselves into someone else's shoes and really so feeling, powerful. You know, these emotions? And yes, they were. That's what made this extra special, because they researched the disability, and then they had to talk about, you know, again, why this disability, how this disability, and the when they went through to modify the game control, how they would actually make it to fit the specific needs of somebody with that disability. So it was pretty cool just to see that process unfold, because, you know, I wish I could say that I had this idea and it just panned out like that, but that's definitely not, you know, what happened. It was like, I had this idea, then I had another idea, and then I said, no, scrap that idea. Then I went for this idea. And so essentially I went through the design process too, just to create this whole experience for the kids. So it was pretty cool just to see it unfold. And so through, you know, just kind of showcasing some of those cool things in my classroom, I was able to actually partner with STEM Supplies Co. So big shout out to STEM Supplies Co. And now I'm blogging for them, and I'm really excited because, you know, some of the really cool things I'm going to be focusing on now are robots in the classroom, but more specifically with Dash and Dot. So I just released my first blog post this week, and it got pretty good feedback. So I'm hoping,
it was a great article.
Oh, hey, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm hoping that I can continue, putting out some good content, because, you know, anytime new technology or emerging technology comes out, it's kind of scary, right? Mm-hmm. But we need to incorporate that into the classroom, right? We need to give students access and not focus so much on, you know, being the expert. That's kind of what I wrote about in the article. So
do you have other elementary teachers trying to figure out or understand where does robotics or coding fit in?
Yeah. I've seen there's a lot of teachers who want to try out robots, especially, I mean, when you have so many different companies right now, right? And just in terms of the actual products that are available for elementary education as well as middle school and high school, there's so many products being developed, right? And so, yes, there's a huge demand in terms of teachers wanting to try these things. It's just kind of like, where do I start, sure. Right? There's so much. They have to be like these coding experts to actually roll out technology into the classroom. And I'm kind of trying to help dispel this myth and showcase, you know, that it doesn't have to be like that. You know, I'm not by any means a robotics expert. You know, I'm just kind of going through this process and figuring it out with the help of my kids. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we learn together, the kids and I. And, you know, just yesterday in my classroom, one of the kids was showing me how to launch things with the Dash. Uh-huh. So it was pretty cool because we actually we had like this basketball shootout. and the kid, obviously, he beat me. But in my defense, it was my first time actually going through launching things. So I'll actually be talking about that in one of my next blogs.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So yes, there's a huge demand. It's just, you know, kind of getting the content to the teachers so that they feel comfortable in terms of, you know, can they roll it out and do they feel supported, right? So I'm trying to help, you know, as many people as I can in sharing my own journey, right?
This year was my first time doing that after school coding class with the junior high. Mm-hmm. And I had 7th and 8th graders, and I ordered the Q robot.
Oh, awesome.
From Wonder Workshop.
and I kind of promoted a video. They got really excited, and they keep asking when it's coming in, when it's coming in, and we finally got it, and I had not used it yet myself, but it was almost like an unboxing with them, and I said, yeah. You know what? Let's learn together. You know, let's see what this thing can do. So we got the app. We started together, and they're starting to huddle around, help each other out with it, and it was just this natural sharing collaboration. They were showing me things with it. And so I think, like you were saying, a lot of these things, we think we need to be masters of it as a teacher, but exactly. There's so much discovery and exploring that you can do as a teacher with your students with these.
Exactly. I mean, that's where it's at right now, right? I mean, yes, there's so much technology and you want to roll it out and you may be afraid, but don't be afraid, because that's right. The beauty of this. These kids, I mean, you put something in front of them. Give them, you know, a couple of hours, and they will tell you everything about it that they can. I mean, uh-huh. It's crazy. So, yes, learn together with the kids.
Nice.
You know, you're so spot on. Even at the high school level, I've experienced that with the 3D printers, bringing those into the classroom. The kids are always fascinated by those. They're like, what, you did that? Can you do this? Can you do this? I'm like, I don't know. Let's see. And then we'll try and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's that natural inquiry. You know, they're trying to figure it out. They're inquiring. They're getting onto different resources naturally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. It's right on.
So I'm really interested in gamification and what you're doing in the classroom and what you're promoting. A lot of times, some teachers, they hear, the word game, and they're thinking, are they just playing games in this classroom? We can't be doing that. But there is a huge student learning process with this. Did you want to share a little bit more about kind of clarifying gamification in the classroom?
Yeah, of course. I'd love to. So gamification essentially is just applying game elements to the classroom, you know, as a form of meeting or motivating or engaging kids, right? Whereas game-based learning is more in terms of playing an actual game to reach a learning objective. In essence, you play the game, and by playing the game, you learn, right?
Okay, yeah.
So that's kind of the key difference between the two is, so I started off with gamification. I really, really didn't know what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
I knew that I was playing games. I didn't know that it was called gamification at the time. And then eventually, I heard about the Institute of Play. So it's a nonprofit design studio out of New York, and they actually had a course, an online course, in gamification and game-based learning, and it was the most eye-opening experience for me ever. I mean, because it was exactly, you know, what I was doing. I just didn't know that it actually had terminology for it, right?
Right.
It had such this big gathering of, you know, all these people that are working and developing these different ideas around it. So through the Institute of Play, you know, I kind of went more along the route of game-based learning, and I still do gamification in my classroom. I mean, because that's, you know, one of the big things I started off with, but now I want to say that my path has taken me more to along the lines of like the GBL route. So mm-hmm. In doing that and going that route, you know, I've actually been for the past 4 years been developing a game with every incoming class. So it started off my first year. It started off as gamification. It was called TMB. And essentially, what would happen was every time a kid would participate in a given subject, a given discipline, the kid would get a card, right? So the card would represent some type of, you know, point value. And the kids were arranged in teams. And then, you know, I started doing that, and I started kind of designing different cards. It started off with like 3 cards, right? And so over the course of the years, I've basically modified that process, taken it, and now gone into game-based learning, where the kids are designing the actual playing cards with me.
Nice.
And now the game is focused more on developing fluency and number sense, with they work with different cards that focus on different computation, different algorithm. So it's pretty cool just to see this whole game kind of come about, because like I said, it started off as one little idea in my classroom, and now I actually have a product that I've launched with my kids, and it's in different districts, it's in different classrooms. I've shared it, you know, nationally. And actually, I partnered with a local doctor not long ago, and he was going on a mission trip to the Fiji Islands. And so I gave him, you know, a class set, and he was able to get that into, you know, a small village over there, which was pretty incredible. Because, wow. You know, started off in our classroom, and now it's helping other kids. So, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty inspiring just to see, you know, how far kids can actually, you know, go in terms of taking an idea and bringing, you know, a concept to an actual tangible product, you know, from having the inception to having the actual end result in your hand, all with the help of your students.
Yeah,
no, it's amazing. It's huge. And I've played that game. It's fun. Third grader likes to play it, and sometimes we'll play just he and I, or we'll get my wife involved, or even our kindergartner. And so it's really good, even at that level, just for number sense.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast episode. Where can our listeners follow you and find your resources?
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me, right? It's awesome to be part of this. And so, you know, just big shout out to what you guys are doing. I think it's amazing. And in terms of, you know, anyone who's listening, if you'd like to kind of see more of the ideas I've talked about, you can definitely follow me at GameBoyDrew on Twitter. Also, I have my own website. It's GameBoyDrew.com. And then finally, if you'd like to learn more about what I'm doing with the robots in my classroom in terms of STEM, you can always check out STEM Supplies Co. On Twitter. One more time, that's at STEM Supplies Co. And then finally, you can check out the actual blog post that they publish at blog.stem-supplies.com. So yeah, those are a couple of the ways that you can reach out to me or kind of share in the kind of the ideas that I'm talking about.
That's perfect. Thanks so much for coming on today. Always good to meet with you and speak with you and just continue to grow alongside each other. And like the hashtag, you know, we're better together. So always a good time.
Yeah, I really appreciate his message about sharing and everyone supporting each other and kind of leveling each other up to just be better at student, you know, with the students always in mind with student learning.
Yeah, definitely, right? That's where we're all in it, right? To help each other out and, you know, share our ideas so that we can continue to inspire one another to kind of level up our own individual, you know, classroom game and, you know, do some really cool stuff in the classroom, but also outside of the classroom, right? So I'm always happy to be part of your guys' journey as well. So thank you again for having me. I appreciate it. And for those listening, please, please, please make sure you follow at ENT EdTech on Twitter. And also, if you go ahead and check out their website, which is at tntedtech.com. And then lastly, if you guys can go ahead and please leave some feedback on the Apple podcast, we'd really all appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Sweet.
That's great.